Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 285 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Sunday, July 2nd, 2023. I'm your host, Derek Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, we talked about doing this a bunch of times, but I think is this the second
Sunday? I think this is the second or third time that we've recorded right after, like immediately after the race. Like, the race ended 12 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, it's holidays and you're heading to Atlanta, so
right.
Why not? Let's knock it out.
Let's pound it out. Yeah. So yeah, we're fresh off of the race. There may be stuff that came out that you guys have heard about that we haven't, because like James said, that just finished. We got to watch the winner's interview, and here we are. So, first Chicago Street Course weekend is in the books, and it definitely had pluses and minuses. We'll talk about all of that, but let's start with our winner, James. SVG Shane Van Gisbergen. The TV couldn't pronounce it the whole time, so I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, Jeff Burton had one of the great flubs of all time. He stumbled on it so hard that he actually just stopped talking.
Yeah, it was so good. Shane gets his first win in his first ever Cup Series start. I don't know about you. I'd never heard of the guy, but he's a V8 Supercars champion, three-time champion over there. 80 wins, they said on the broadcast.
Yeah.
So comes with some experience on street courses, and I guess that played well for him today, huh?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was thinking about this as he was. It seemed like he's gonna win this race. Although Justin Haley,
he took
Justin
it to
Haley
him.
He tried
better than I thought he would.
Yeah, but you know, I kept thinking like this was the perfect storm for someone just like this to come in here and steal a victory. A guy who's familiar with, you know, street circuits and how this car might handle on a street circuit. And my God, he was fast all week. And then you put him in a car like what Trackhouse can provide, and especially a car that only prepares for this race. He came in guns blazing, ready to go, and just took it to him. It was impressive.
Well, I posted in our group chat this morning. I'm like, okay, so the question is, do we put, you know, Jensen Button, do we put Shane Van Gisbergen into our lineups for fantasy? And I'm like, I don't know, man, you know, yeah, he qualified well, but once you get out in race conditions, you know, that's a whole different thing. And especially, you know, we're starting in the rain, but it's going to dry out. And, you know, he's not going to be able to run with the rest of these guys. But the last minute this morning, the last minute right before the race started, late, I threw him in the lineup. And Shane, I didn't put Button in there. And, it worked out. I mean, that worked out for me. The rest of it didn't. I still ended up sucking. You know, again, we've seen guys do this. We've seen guys come through and be fast in practice. We've seen guys come through and be fast in qualifying. We've seen guys come through and be fast in the race, but never put a full race together. And James, I we haven't heard any post-race interviews yet, but if I hear one driver complain about not being able to pass on this track, they better just shut up. Because Shane did it. I mean, he was one of the drivers that was screwed when they flipped the field, essentially by cutting the race by 25 laps, and still manages to come back through the field and get the win. So,
yeah, I mean, he got, you know, there was a lot of, I mean, the race was pretty ugly for the most part, a lot of cautions, cars stuck in barriers, things like that. But he took to the track better than everybody else because of, I think the slick conditions also maybe played a little bit of a role as well, because he just was able to, you know, I think back of that battle with Haley, and, you know, Haley gets him back. They were crossing each other over.
Yeah,
but
Haley put on a show there, but Shane backed off.
He had some serious control, and then when Justin overdrove it, Shane just kept it on the dry part of the track, and off Haley went into the skids, and, you know, fresh tires versus some old tires, and off he went. NBC did a great job showing him driving, showing his footwork, showing his ability. I mean, yeah, it's a shocker when he comes in here, but when you think about all of the skills that he brings to the table and everything that he kind of came prepared with, it's less and less shocking the more you think about it, even though it's a, you know, first time, you know, first start, first win situation. It's pretty incredible.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, you know, that move that he put on, on Justin Haley. Haley passed him back, sure. And it looked good, you know, if you're a Haley fan. But, I mean, he didn't – Van Gisbergen just backed off and knew he was going to make the next turn, and Haley wasn't. And yep. he was just precise into the next turn, passed him right back like it was nothing. So,
yep.
I mean, I applaud Justin Haley for giving it to him a little bit. And also not just cleaning him out going into turn one on the green-white checker at the end. I was a little disappointed that the way it went down. So with the race being shortened by 25 laps, there were, you know, half the field essentially had already pitted. And the guys that were running up front kind of got mired back behind those guys in a track that's tough to pass on. Right. And so I was a little disappointed that Haley's up front. He's probably going to be able to hold these guys off and get a win, and nothing against Haley. Cause I mean, Haley winning is a great story, but it just didn't feel like he quite earned it. But the way this race played out at the end, even if Haley would have won over Shane, I still would have been on board with that win, because Haley would have had to earn it to be able to beat him the way he did.
Yeah, these guys were driving pretty hard.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah,
I mean, Martin Truex Jr. His car was absolute toe. I mean, he had no brakes left. He was still, you know, he was still gunning. I think he hit the barrier three times.
Who crashed in that corner more, him or Noah Gregson? I think Gregson still had. Gregson
has turn six. I think Truex had a couple different ones. Yeah. He spread the wealth. But, I mean, and you think about this too. I think, because Chase Elliott, I think he found himself in a very fortunate spot, because he had no business being up there. Same with Haley.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's, you know, he's got SVG bearing down on him, and he just kind of lets him go. And I wonder if Chase is thinking, okay, these, you know, here's some guy with some inexperience in a cup car versus Justin Haley, young guy. This is my chance. Like, I'm going to let these two mess up, and I'm going to come back in here and win this thing.
Right.
I wonder if that is going through his mind. You know, it may be just a little bit, and maybe in the deep recesses of his brain. I don't want to think for Chase, but it turned out to be, you know, kind of a moot move for him. He ends up third regardless.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting with Chase being where he was in this race, because, I mean, Chase isn't going to point his way into the playoffs at this point.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get himself a win. And so I don't understand why you're not driving more aggressively than he is. I mean, I guess he put it in the wall at one point, so he must be driving pretty aggressively, but
he put it in the wall all weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you're right. He was where he was in the first place because he put it in the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that's it. It's the backup car aspect, but, I don't know. I don't know. He's got to get himself a win. I guess maybe he figures he's still going to get it, or maybe he's just giving up on the season. I don't know.
Well, this was a lost opportunity, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
Definitely.
There's not much he can do. Like, I mean,
he's a road course racing ace at this point, and he's in, you know, starting third with a green-white checker.
Yeah. And you know, I think single-file restarts, obviously, that helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, SVG doesn't have to battle, you know, side-by-side with somebody.
Right.
You know, that...
Well, that it really... also kept us from having 15 green-white checkers and having to end because of darkness.
Yes, yes, of course. And you sent me the funniest text. It was, we're doing overtime after we shortened the race for darkness. Right.
Yeah, how do you do overtime when the race was only 78 laps of a 100-lap race? I don't understand how that's overtime, but...
Yeah, well, overtime official, apparently.
I mean, then that's again, so I guess the Xfinity race was 2 laps short of halfway, and we still ended that, so...
Yeah.
We just make stuff up here in the NASCAR.
Well, when you're not... Well, we'll talk about this probably later, but when you're not running the show, you gotta get the show in.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, but man, it was, it's funny recording this so immediately after, because I'm still, you know, kind of buzzing through everything I was thinking about as we're watching this race, but it really was, you know, it's brilliant driving, brilliant ability mixed with what the hell was that, you know, for some of it. I mean, it was a mess. The racetrack was flooded this morning.
Yeah, when they
we
were showing
on the wets,
when they were showing the tires floating on pit road in 12 inches of water, I'm like, there is no way we're freaking racing this race.
Yeah, tonight. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, we're going to be racing Monday. I can't believe we're here and we got this thing in.
I know. Well, most of it.
I mean, it counts. This counts. Yeah. Once we got to, I texted you earlier too. Like, let's just get this to halfway. I mean, I think I tweeted that out. Let's get the halfway and get the hell out of there.
Right.
Because it was looking pretty bad. But man, I tell you, we had a lot of cautions and a lot of single car.
We had nine cautions with no stage cautions.
Yep.
But yeah,
a lot of cars stuck.
It was, you know? James, for what it was, you know, it's the first time ever on a street race, street course. So you're automatically expecting some chaos because of that. It's also a wet weather race. Probably one of the, I mean, short of the Coda race that we didn't have any business racing a couple of years ago in the rain, probably the wettest race we've run in the Cup Series. So you take both of those and you're expecting chaos. You add them together, you're expecting major chaos. And really, I mean, I didn't see anything in this race that I wouldn't expect on any NASCAR circuit, right? I mean, we had the big pileup in the one turn. But it's not like they piled into each other and flipped over top of each other. We've seen that on street courses in every series that exists. And we knew that was a possibility, but we've seen that at Talladega. We've seen that at, you know, New Hampshire, you know, that stuff happens sometimes.
Especially tight quarters like that.
Yeah. And again, you had drivers sliding into tire barriers, but they weren't destroying their cars. They were just getting stuck under the barriers and stuff. I mean, for the most part, I think that everything that I kind of, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I kind of predicted last week that what we'd see is these drivers become professionals and show that they're professionals and go out and put on a show. And I think we saw it. And I think this track was majorly more racy than anybody expected it to be.
Yeah. I mean, the corners, I think Kyle Busch commented on this where he said there, the apexing of the corners was a little bit off, but he said it was actually, you know, not off to the point where it's bad. He said, The track races really well because we can actually carry speed and we've got cars that are able to do that as well. It's just the, I think the cars getting stuck under the barriers was kind of disappointing because if they could have driven away, this race could have been a lot more smooth.
Right.
A handful of accidents that you know, you're going to have cautions and things like that. That was really the biggest, disappointment's not the right word. It was the biggest.
I think the biggest disappointment, James, was when Alex Bowman broke 20 feet ahead of an opening in pit wall.
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing, let's see, do I have it right here? I don't have it in front of me how fast or how many seconds the laps are. 90 second laps that we're running here. So you're a minute and a half to get around this track. The track is clear for a minute and a half. And we couldn't just go out there and just grab that car and shove it behind the wall and not throw caution there.
Austin Dillon did a good job after he broke. He limped it all the way down and backed it in. I was like, thank you, Austin.
I was impressed.
Because he was there. I mean, Austin had a shot to be in the Haley position.
He did. He did. And I think Austin was going to be more aggressive.
he would have.
He showed that. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Justin drove his tail off. But, Austin would have been. But Austin, similar with him and I hate to bury Tyler Reddick again.
Yeah.
A little bit, but Tyler Reddick, when he's got the goods, he just doesn't close very well. Even when, you know, the odds are kind of stacked against him, he got marred back there a little bit, but he was coming back through the field. I think he could have had something. Maybe if he could have got up there with SVG, maybe we could have had a nice little battle, but like, once again, he just makes a silly mistake and puts it in a tire barrier. I mean, we've seen this with young, talented drivers many times.
Well,
but it seems to be where he's at right now with his development.
I'm going to tell you that I took the driver that I took out of my lineup this morning or this afternoon to put SVG in was Martin Truex Jr. I took Martin Truex Jr. out of there because while Martin Truex Jr. is a great road course racer, with all of the conditions we were going to see today, I'm like, there's no way he's going to choke. He's going to do something ridiculous. He's going to crash. He's going to do something.
He did a few times.
Yeah. And look at what he did. He finished 32nd. You're talking about Reddick. Reddick finished 28th.
Yep.
Noah Gregson beat both of them, and he crashed 17 times in this race. Gregson finished 25th.
He crashed a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I'm thinking back, like, Chris Bell's got the biggest gripe. This was his race.
Yeah, he definitely has a complaint. But, I asked, though, and I asked you this, I texted this to you. Can you complain about the race being shortened when everybody knew the race was going to be shortened?
Yeah. No, we all knew. Yeah. Like, we all knew. The start time was way too late. Like, this was going to, we were going to have.
And TV even knew it because they talked about that first pit stop, the pit stop where some of the drivers went. They said, is this the point where people start pitting because we're not racing to the end of the race?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knew.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to have a big gripe about it, but.
And I mean, NASCAR couldn't have called it any sooner. I did see your best friend, Nick Bromberg, bitched on Twitter because he said they should have, called the or shortened the race before the pit stops, but they did shorten the race before the pit stops. So sorry, Nick, you were wrong on that one. But yeah, I mean, NASCAR couldn't shorten it earlier because, hey, maybe things click along and we get the whole thing in. But
yep.
You know, long cautions, it's a road course. It's, you know, it's a 2 mile road course. You can expect that.
We've had shortened races before. Yes. Yeah. Nothing new.
Yeah, exactly. And this, look, this is a common occurrence on street courses. If you watch street racing in other series, if you watch IndyCar, you get rain on a street course, you almost always have a shortened race.
Well, and I think, too, after seeing what happened last night with Xfinity, these teams had to, and anybody who's in the lead's going to gripe. There's right. no, you know, yeah, I think he was done wrong a little bit, but, you know, NASCAR is not in complete control of these things at this point. No. We saw what happened yesterday at the Xfinity race. We'll talk about it, but you just gotta understand, like, this is a little bit more of a spectacle. We got to get this thing in.
Yep.
And we gotta go home. Like, we can't race till Tuesday. Monday's our cutoff. We have no choice here. We got to get this race complete.
Yeah, and Monday costs a lot of money.
Yes.
We don't know how much money, but we know the contract was shared out there. The wording in the contract, Monday costs money.
Yes.
And what people don't understand, and I tweeted this, and I got a like from Alex Hayden, James, to put it on the board.
Oh, nice.
People don't understand how much. So even if like look at Michigan International Speedway. So a couple of years ago, I covered the race there and it rained out and we raced on Monday instead of Sunday. And I'm up in the media center or up in the press box and there's different people working the press box. Half the concessions are closed down. People don't understand that these tracks all employ part-time people. They're not full-time people that work at these. They're part-time and volunteer people that come out and work the race weekend. And when you have to push the race off the scheduled date, it creates this massive. First of all, you're now paying people for an extra day because they have to work the second day. And then half those people can't come because they have regular jobs. And now you take that and you put it on a street course where the track they were supposed to start tearing this race down or this track down after the checkered flag tonight. Well, now you're going to keep it up an extra day. You're going to inconvenience an entire city a day before their big 4th of July festivities.
Yep.
You know, that's a huge deal. It's a gigantic thing. And so when everybody's just like, well, NASCAR should have put more effort into running the race. Well, trust me, NASCAR doesn't want to push the race to the next day if they can avoid it. And sometimes TV runs the course and runs the show and gets the decision made early. But generally NASCAR is the one making the final decision on that stuff. So, I wanted to talk to you about a couple things in this race that we got to see differently because of what we had. So we started the race under wet weather rules. We had the rain tires and the windshield wipers and all that stuff on it. That's not unusual. We've seen that before. But one thing that they did before we even encountered rain issues is they changed the restart zone this weekend. So the restart zone, instead of being on the front stretch where it normally would be, so they all pile into turn one, the restart zone was coming into the last turn to allow them to separate a little bit as they come out of the front stretch. What'd you think of that, James? I think we had a lot of you had more criticism than I do because I like the chaos, but I think there was a lot of criticism at COTA about this. I think it worked out pretty damn good, don't you?
Yeah, I think they made the right decision there. All of it worked out well. Like the Xfinity series, you know, it looked like restart, like this, when you had double file restarts yesterday, when we were able to race, it looked like Cole Custer was basically cheating.
It's right.
Such a big, I think everything that, you know, adjusted for what needed to be done. I think all of the restarts, as many as we had, everything ran like clockwork on that part of it. So you can't criticize when things are operating at a high level like that. You really, there's no room to criticize like that. That was the right decision.
So should we explore that? Like, we're going to Indy in a few weeks. Indy is a cluster going into turn one. Is this something we should do? Should we move the restart zone into that kink in the coming to the front stretch?
I'd be totally fine with that as well.
I think I would be too.
Yeah. I think you got to take lessons learned and apply them. Eric, we changed from single file restarts to double file restarts in the middle of the season.
Right.
We can make rules changes like this.
Yeah. Well, shoot, this rule change, I don't know about you, James, but I didn't know about this until the start of the Xfinity race.
Yeah.
I had no idea they'd done this.
Yep. And I liked all of that. Yeah. I mean, I like where they moved the zone, and I would have rather have seen the X-Men series do single file restarts as well.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask, is the single file restarts for the rain. Of course, the track cleared up and was mostly dry at the end. Certainly could have moved back to double file restarts, but they stayed single file restarts. Again, you know, I love the chaos, but it was kind of nice to not just go barreling off into turn one and wreck half the field.
It's nice. I mean, if we went double file, we'd have cars stuck in. We'd have cars all over.
We didn't need the wrecking. This was a good race without the wrecking.
Yeah. Yes. It would have been better under certain circumstances.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of ways that can be improved, but you don't learn these things until you actually hold events there. Right. And as messy as things got this weekend, I think, you take what you got. And you take the good, you jot down notes on the bad, and then, you know, should we be blessed with this opportunity in the future? You learn from it. And like you said, Eric, Indy's a great place. It may be our last time at the Indy Road Course for a little while. So if we should make that product as good as possible. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you learn all kinds of stuff when you race a race for the first time. Like, I don't know, park policies and things like that.
Yep.
Affect your race weekend.
Right.
We'll get to that in a moment too.
Yes, we will.
I'm gonna save the last question in the cup section on our notes.
Yeah. That sounds good.
We'll save it till after we discuss Xfinity, because the Xfinity race could certainly influence.
Yeah, we can probably get through the Xfinity series pretty quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot to talk about there. Before we do that, anything else with the cup race that's worth talking about? Obviously Shane Van Gisbergen gets a lot of credit for getting the win. A lot of talk about him, but we saw, other ringers in this field as well. I'm scrolling down. Jenson Button finishes 21st in the 15 car, got spun out coming to pit road, that mired him back, and he just wasn't ever able to quite recover from that. He finished top 10, the first stage, I believe.
Yeah.
So good for him. Andy Lally, 26th, for him. Who else? Wasn't there one more?
Yeah, I feel like I got chuckled at just a little bit about picking Jenson Button, and I was feeling really good. I was like, you know, that was a great pick, and then SVG comes in and actually wins the race, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
I sound like an idiot anyway.
You picked the wrong ringer.
I did. I felt really good about it though after practice and everything. I was like, man, this is great. Oh well.
What
are you gonna do?
I joked before the race started and asked if Kevin Harvick had retired officially yet before the race began, because, you know, Harvick, first of all, he hates racing in the rain. He's talked about it before. He's not in favor of street racing. He's really not in favor of a lot of the changes that we've made. And now he races on the streets in the rain. And then he gets wrecked three times in this race, at least.
He's in the pile up. Yeah. He wrecks on. I saw Rodney Childers tweeted out. That was the first time since he started working with Kevin Harvick that Harvick was the reason that they had to go to a backup car, like a wreck. They said they had one part failure, but that Harvick crashing, this is the first time that a damaged race car has caused them any issues. That's incredible. I had not heard a stat like that before.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
But yeah, he was not happy about the show, I don't think.
Chase Elliott, we talked about, recovered from his issue to finish third. Kyle Busch finishes fifth after putting in the tire very early as well.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Joey Logano was in a couple wrecks. He finishes eighth. Ty Gibbs has a nice strong finish in ninth.
Austin Cindric, you know, he was nowhere to be found for the most part, and he showed up.
He benefited from the flip.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And then Denny Hamlin, he put it in the tire barrier early, comes back to finish 11th. Did I mention Corey LaJoie? Corey LaJoie was kind of a bulldozer. He got into a few people in this race.
Yeah, him and Bowman were really not happy. I mean, Bowman was really not happy with how Corey raced him.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might, I don't know if that'll carry over or not, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't believe William Byron ended up 13th after he was the one who stuffed it to cause the big pileup.
Yep. Yep.
And Larson was in that too.
Yeah, so to be fair, I would argue that Corey LaJoie getting into Harvick was what caused the pileup. I think Harvick was checking up because of Bowman, but LaJoie was all up underneath Harvick going into that turn. I think Harvick was spinning regardless. Bubba Wallace had a good run until he messed things up at the end. 31st place finish for him.
Yeah, I got the I got all the stage results too from Mr. Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, so Chris Bell did win the first two. I thought I remember that. But like Martin Truex Jr., he was able to salvage points with stage points. Tyler Reddick was able to have a good day via stage points. Other than that, like McDowell was fifth all day and ended up seventh. So that was a good day for that team as well. So they're pretty interesting. Yeah, nice. Shane. So you had asked earlier, Shane was third in stage one, fourth in stage two. So he was, I mean,
yeah,
he was there all day. All he was day. There all day. Yep.
Five leaders, throughout this race. Trying to think what else is worth here.
Normally you wouldn't be impressed with 5 liters, but yeah. I'm impressed that we got to 5 liters.
7 lead changes, up from those 5 liters. So, Martin Truex Jr., this is all unofficial, of course, because this is straight off of NASCAR's, virtual media center. So it could all change, depending on finishing and all that stuff that they determine. But, Martin Truex Jr. is your points leader, 9 points over, William Byron at this point.
Can we also shout out the winning crew chief for Project 91?
Yeah. How about shout out Project 91, period?
But Project, yeah, go ahead. And Trackhouse Racing, yeah. Project 91. As we mentioned, like Project 91 shows up to special events and have had Kimi Raikkonen racing. This is one of their all-star ringers they brought in. But the guy crew chiefing is Darian Grubb.
Nice.
And Darian freaking Grubb, he his first cup win since 2015... He has not crew chiefed a full cup season since 2018, and this is his 24th career win with 6 different drivers.
Nice.
Those drivers are a who's who, by the way. that include the GOAT, Jimmy Johnson, which he has a Daytona 500 with, and Tony Stewart also on that list. So
nice.
Yeah, Darian Grubb. I've said many a time, I'm not sure if I've ever said it on this podcast, but when Tony Stewart fired Darian Grubb after the 2011 championship, that was the end of his run. I thought that was a big mistake at the time, and I feel like I was proven fairly right.
Yeah.
Didn't do much after that, so
I've
always thought highly of Darian, so I'm happy for him.
I call this Project 91 thing a huge success. Obviously, a win anywhere in the Cup Series is a huge success, but totally just bringing awareness to our sport. I mean, we had a whole, you know, country essentially watching the race today because of Shane, and a lot of eyes on our sport this weekend, between the new fans in Chicago, the looky loos as they walked by. I mean, how cool were the shots of the people standing along the fences,
yeah, trying climbing to get a glimpse. Buildings.
Yeah.
Watching out their apartment windows.
Yeah. So all that was really neat. And the exposure that this Project 91 car gave us this weekend. I mean, a big weekend for NASCAR. I think the ratings and all that stuff is not going to even make a dent toward what the impact was of this weekend for NASCAR. So I wanted to, before we move out of the Cup Series, I pulled up some stats here from Mr. Shane Van Gisbergen. So he races car 97 in the V8 Supercars. He has 3 championships, 2016, 2021, and 2022. So he's won the last 2 seasons. 499 races started, 80 wins, 174 podiums, 46 pole positions. By the way, 80 wins and 499 starts is a 16% average win rate for him. That's pretty good.
Yep, I'd say so. Yep. So. Like I said, brought in a ringer.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So good stuff. We might not have heard of him here, but you have now. And hey, he said on the TV broadcast, you know, he's running one more year in the V8 Supercars, but could be interested in coming over to the Cup Series. So.
Well, Marcos Ambrose had a pretty successful career coming across.
Yep.
I hope he doesn't think that he's going to win every week. But
right.
pretty cool that he was able to get one.
Well, I'll tell you what, James, of all the talk I've heard already, he might have a couple shots at street races in the next couple of years. So.
Well, he comes in with the greatest winning percentage in the history of the sport. So
yeah, that is true.
So maybe he's the GOAT now.
Could be.
We can transfer that from Jimmy to SVG.
Could be. All right. We'll talk real quick about the NASCAR Xfinity Series race. The Loop 121 started on Saturday. Cole Custer leads every lap to get a win, 2 laps short of halfway. We get a lightning postponement on Saturday. to push the race to Sunday morning. And then it rains like hell, basically a month's worth of rain in one morning in Chicago. And NASCAR was interested in getting their their cup race in and not have to spend a bunch of money to race it on Monday. So we called off the Xfinity Series race. Set precedent. It is the first race in a very, very long time to be called before halfway. It is the first ever race to be called before the race is considered official, in air quotes. We did have a couple races, I think last year or 2 years ago, that were called before halfway, but after the second stage, when the rule stated that they could be called after the second stage.
Yep.
So there you go.
Just a complete mess.
Yeah. I mean,
the whole thing.
So this was a cluster, and a lot of it comes down to, my understanding is that they evacuated. I mean, people were talking all over Twitter that they were being told the race was canceled and go home. And from the sounds of things, they could have raced last night, at least gotten some more laps in, and nobody was there. So I put this one on the city, or the whoever, I don't know, whoever's in charge of
the track. You think NASCAR knew that rule? The law.
I can't imagine
that wasn't covered,
but you would think it'd be in the contract. So I don't know. Maybe they just thought they wouldn't have to worry about it, but everybody seemed pretty confused yesterday. So
yeah, if anything, the officials probably didn't know then.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably, James, so the flubs on this one, in my opinion, are one, we had the entire Xfinity crews, drivers, everybody stay an extra night when they didn't need to, because
for nothing.
Yeah, because we called the race early. Yep. So there's that. That was a big flub. I think the biggest flub is the fact that we canceled all the concerts this weekend. So any of those fans that were coming for a concert and figured, I'll check out a race too, just got the race. Which, I mean, for us that's fine, but for the fans that sucks. But in the end, I mean, this is the Xfinity Series, and not to crap on the Xfinity Series, but this isn't the big show, and this is not the priority any weekend. And so if you're going to cut one short, I guess this is the one you got to do it. It's not like we do it every weekend. It's certainly unprecedented. I don't blame NASCAR. NASCAR is not at fault on this one. I'm sorry. NASCAR TV, they're not at fault. The city of Chicago, I think, may have shown that they were not very welcoming of us with this deal.
They haven't been welcoming.
No.
It's hence the reason I've been pushing back on this event so hard.
Right.
I just feel like the people there don't want it. And I think the expected economic impact is going to be a lot less than they thought.
A lot of those people were hanging out in the bars and stuff last night instead of watching a race. So maybe it did better.
Yep. And hotel rooms and things like that. But yeah, I think they projected like 113 million. I don't know. And I don't know if they were getting that with or without the rain. Like the rain's the wild card here because like you said, Eric, we got a month's worth of rain. This is going to be a bleep show one way or the other. Maybe. I don't know.
Right. I mean, honestly, considering what we got for rain, considering the weather from last night to, 5 o'clock today, this was the best case scenario.
Like, yeah, you got it in. Yeah.
Such a terrific job of creating success from just being handed garbage.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot you can do. Especially like on NASCAR's end, like I know NASCAR is the brainchild of this whole idea.
Right.
But Chicago just, I think part of it too, Eric, is this is on the 4th of July weekend. I think that was the biggest mistake.
Well, and in a city that celebrates 4th of July, they've got a big event tomorrow or on Sunday. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like IndyCar moved to downtown Detroit and nobody says boo.
Right.
Because it's fine, but nobody's down there that time of year. Nothing going on.
I mean, let's be fair, James. Well, nobody's in Detroit anyway.
It's a different, it's a different situation. I understand that. But yeah, this was hard, a hard pill to swallow. Like, I would rather be wrong 100 times out of 100 of something like, you know how I feel about this race. I know I don't love it, but yeah. Also I can enjoy good racing. Like this race, the race today was, it was good racing towards the end of the race.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic, but I'd rather be, you know, I don't know. It's hard, man.
You need to race places you're wanted.
Yeah. Like they didn't want us here.
Here's my thought. I thought that the race today was great. I still think overall, despite what happened yesterday, that this was a massive success. I think it should be done again. I think we've proven we can race on a street course, even with the Xfinity cars, because that race, yes, yesterday was a little rough in the beginning. They were very tentative, but it was starting to pick up, and we were starting to see that excitement when the race was stopped. I mean, really, the first half of the race, you're expecting them to feel it out. Yeah. You're expecting the good racing to come in the second half. And I thought we saw way better racing than what we were expecting to see. That being said, I don't think Chicago, the city, deserves a second shot. I think this should be moved somewhere else. That being said, I think the track, as underwhelming as it appeared on iRacing and when we were originally presented with it, I think the track was absolutely perfect for NASCAR. It didn't have those tight hairpin turns that you see on some of the IndyCar street courses and stuff like that. I mean, it really was very, very well done. It was tight. It was technical, but it wasn't ridiculous for our cars. So I really wish, I hope to God that the city of Chicago goes, you know what? This was freaking awesome, you guys. Let's do this again. Let's do it again. Let's move it off 4th of July so it doesn't interfere with our other stuff, but let's do this again. And we can just do it again and try it one more time there. But at this point, I don't feel like the city itself deserves the race a second time.
I think no matter what, like if we come back again next year, Eric, I know we have a three-year contract in place. This is not going beyond. I personally don't think they'll come back, and I don't think they should. I think if we're going to do this, we should go somewhere else. That's my opinion. Regardless.
I think the social media analytics and all that stuff that they see out of this weekend is what's going to determine that, James.
Yeah, and the you know, I think, and the money too.
I think they're gonna see the impact that they had from the fans, and I think NASCAR is gonna come back.
I don't know.
I think they will.
I just don't know. I don't think no matter what, we ain't going past 3 years for sure.
Like this. Yeah, I doubt it. Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, you got to get new agreements signed. So
you know how IndyCar and Detroit have had an agreement for a long time, and I know that was on Belle Isle for a long time, but NASCAR being in the streets of Chicago is not going to be a legacy thing for the sport. Like, it's not going to be something you circle on your calendar every year because it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be here. But again, like Eric, like you said, like if they move the date, maybe a better time of the summer, maybe. I am less skeptical now than I was. But I still land on the fact that the people who live there don't want it. So that's the hard part for me.
Well, if you like street racing, you like wet weather racing, get excited because chances are we're going to be doing this in Seattle in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that would be fine. Go to Seattle, go to Portland.
Yeah.
Not Portland, the road course.
Yeah.
Portland, the street
things
course.
I've heard about Portland. I think we just stay in Seattle. It's just,
I honestly, Eric, I got a better idea.
Yeah.
Take the racing out of the Coliseum. Put it in the streets of L.A.
Yeah.
Where they used to do it before. They've already got the infrastructure
Well, and the cool thing about racing in the streets of L.A., James, is they won't need the pit crews for pit stops because they just park on the side of the road and people will steal the tires.
What did you think about the guy breaking into the track?
Oh, my gosh. That was so Chicago.
Yeah.
That was so Chicago.
When setup for this race started, people were stealing stuff out of the... Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was... Yeah.
Yeah.
To be expected, I guess.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine getting my car out there. And I think he had didn't he have like a Corvette or something?
It was like a Ferrari or something.
Yeah, it was like a supercar.
I saw a picture of it today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in trouble. He's in big trouble.
Yeah. So James, overall, success, not a success, acceptable, complete flop, failure. What's your thoughts on this one?
It's not a failure and it's not a complete flop. I think it's somewhere in the C to C plus range for me.
I give it a B minus. I want to be more positive.
Okay, so we're not that far off.
Yeah,
we're not that far off.
I mean, like I said, the thing is on the NASCAR front, I give them an A. I think
NASCAR did its job. Yep.
NASCAR gets an A. the overall event gets a B minus. I mean the weather takes a huge role in that. James, if we don't have the weather, we don't have an issue. This goes off without a hitch this weekend. We have some great concerts. The Xfinity race finishes on Saturday. The Cup race runs in the dry. Everything's good. It gets an A all around, but I think it gets a B minus partially because of the weather, partially because of just, you know, again, this is an issue you have. This is why NASCAR owns a bunch of the tracks it races on. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't own a bunch of the tracks you race on, you're no longer the one who runs the show.
Yep.
You know, you are at the mercy of whoever owns that facility, and
That's what happened last night.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, so, again, like you said, Erica, you said it pretty well. Like, Xfinity Series, so what?
That's, yeah, exactly.
But if that had been the Cup Series,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, we dodged a pretty nasty bullet. Like,
yeah, we did.
One day later, like, if this race goes one day later or something, and we have, you know, the Cup Series in that same situation, oh, man. Oh, boy. The fans probably would have had a riot.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Could have been bad. Could have been real bad.
I see Front Stretch has an interview with Christopher Bell
on Twitter. Yeah, he's not happy. Yeah,
not surprisingly.
Yeah. He's pretty upset. Eric Jones just tweeted a minute ago, let's do it again.
Nice. Well, like I said, we're going to do it again. We're definitely street racing again. I think we proved this weekend that we can street race and do it pretty well. You know, another thing I want to give props to, James, is... these are some heavy race cars, and we had an Xfinity car hit pretty much full speed at the end of the straightaway, and run into a tire barrier and a concrete wall and not move it. So they did a great job with this course. I did see when Chase hit the wall, that wall moved a little bit, but not enough to be a concern. This place was built rock solid, and they did a great job with this facility to make it safe, you know?
Yep. The track held up. I hopefully, if we do this again, we figure out the tire barrier thing, so we're not getting stuck so bad. But again, it's high speed corners. You got to have something.
It's a street course. If you watch IndyCar, yeah, they're lower to the ground, but those IndyCars get stuck under the tire barriers all the time. It's better than hitting a concrete wall.
That's right.
So, I don't know. I said, I've watched my share of street races, and I think this one. It looked like every other street race, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. So,
yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, it, yep, it looked like a street race. That's a great,
yeah.
Yep.
It looked like we've been doing it forever, you know, and I saw some tweets, the negativity on Twitter, despite the fact that we were all limited to 600 tweets this weekend. Thanks to Elon, and the cluster that is the engineering department at the, at Twitter.
He's making improvements, though.
Yeah. Well, I can think of one improvement. It would be to oust the owner of Twitter. there was a lot of negativity, and I saw people complaining about NBC acting like this was the first time this has ever been done. It was the first time it had ever been done, guys. I get that there's been street races before, but there's never been a NASCAR street race, so shut up.
Okay, well, Eric, you know how I am better than most. I mean, you talk to me on a weekly basis, and most of the time we're communicating on a, I don't know, fairly daily basis, not quite. Yeah. But let me tell you, I got to make a full admission here.
Okay.
All the people that were doing the tweets about how amazing this was. This is amazing. This is incredible. Blah, blah, blah. And then the shit show showed up. And I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of had on the inside. I was kind of happy.
Oh, I know you were happy. You were happy. Oh. You were happy when I jinxed it yesterday. Cause I was,
you did, you jinxed it yesterday.
I was on Twitter praising it, and then it all broke loose.
Yeah. You cursed it. Well, I even more so sad. Jeff Gluck is, is gotta be one of my favorite things. Cause he was on the horse, boy.
He was on the horse.
And then all I kept thinking was, you son of a gun. How can you love this much? Like, how can you be this ecstatic for this and do everything you do about Chicago or about Bristol Dirt?
I agree with that.
I'm like, you do all this stuff about Bristol Dirt. You make your rap songs.
He's a Formula One guy.
Oh, what a stinker.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed. Yeah. Sad Jeff Gluck, I think, is one of my favorite things. So I was okay. Like, I was doing great. I was feeling really good. After seeing everybody's spirits get by, I just love spirits getting crushed. I don't know.
Like I said, you are our resident Nick Bromberg. It's wonderful.
Yeah, me and Larry David share a lot of qualities. It's disturbing, but I am who I am. I ain't changing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm 35 years old, man. I'm not changing.
You are who you are. That is correct.
And I can still enjoy the race and be a curmudgeon at the same time. It's
right.
Okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah, I was a little worried yesterday and this morning that this was going to fall flat on its face.
Oh, but... yeah. Your tweets, man, you timed them.
Yeah, I was pretty good on the timing. Like right when I started praising stuff.
And then you did it today. You texted me and you're like, this is going smooth. I'm like, and then there was a pile up.
They're all professionals and then half the field piles it into the turn.
Yeah. You've got great timing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Bob has the updated point standings. Did we go over those?
We did, but I don't know if they were accurate. Truex 9 points.
Yep, Truex 9. So they were Byron accurate. Second, Ross Chastain third.
There you go.
Chris Bell, he's fine. He's got a win and he's in fourth. What's he crying about? He'll be fine.
Yeah. Shut up, Chris.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is an interesting one though, because we got a guy with a win who is he's not in the playoffs. So
well,
this happened a couple of times. AJ did it a couple years ago.
Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing was tweeting that they were cheering for him because it helps them in the playoffs. So
yes, it does. Keeps Brad in, and Chris is also still in. So yeah, Bubba's in. Ty Gibbs on the bubble. Everybody's doing good.
Nice. Jeff Gluck tweets, Justin Haley had 20 minutes of simulated time for this race at 9 p.m. on Thursday night. That's it. He wrecked yesterday, rewrapped his car, half of the car himself last night after the damage, and finished second. So, not bad.
There you go.
Good for Justin Haley. I mean, this is a win for him. I know it sucks that he didn't win the race. This is a win for those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, again, you know, we talk about a colleague car, and I think they mentioned this on the broadcast. We talk about a colleague car finished second on a road course. It wouldn't be Justin Haley that I'd be picking for that one, you know?
Yep.
So.
Steve O'Donnell also saying, did you see this one?
No.
This is great. Steve O'Donnell says NASCAR is more than comfortable with deciding to cut the race to 75 laps, and when they did it, he notes the winner pitted behind the other cars who stayed out and still made his way to the front to victory.
Like I said, nobody can bitch about not being able to pass on this track.
And then Denny Hamlin goes from telling us, no, this has to be Monday, to thank you, Chicago. Well done.
Yeah. I'm surprised that that other tweet was still there when I...
Do you think the drivers are getting a stipend for all the positive things that they have to tweet?
I don't know. I was listening to the MRN broadcast today when they started talking to drivers, and I was very curious to see how they were going to talk about the fact that it was wet. And it really looked earlier today like NASCAR was just going to try and push this thing through and run us in overly wet conditions. And I was very concerned, James, because we did not need another COTA situation.
Yeah.
Here, you know, it would have been horrible. It would have been a disaster. So they did the right thing there. Again, we've proven that the rain tires or the wet weather tires work. You know, they were able to get the track clear enough to where we weren't creating a ton of mist. I think the visibility was really good. I don't know. I think, like I said, best case for the circumstances, in my opinion.
Yep.
We couldn't ask for more.
Yep. 100%.
Anything else out of Chicago before we move on to Atlanta, James?
Well, we're cruising through it, man. Let's get her done and get ready for Monday night. It's late for me.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just to point out, the reason that that we are recording early is I'll be heading to Atlanta this weekend. Leaving Tuesday, hopefully. I'm trying to fight the traffic, 4th of July traffic. That'll be fun. Heading down to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series this weekend. Truck Series is also in Mid-Ohio. Did you update the points for us?
I did.
Did you? All right.
Yeah,
how much did I beat you by?
Our picks points are updated. Well, you had Michael McDowell. It was a great pick. You won by 25. I had points. Jensen Button.
Closing in.
Yes, you got it. You cut it to 108.
Oh, 108 so behind.
You're 108 out. That's not bad.
Not bad at
couple
all.
Couple of 40s in a row, 46 last week, 42 this week. But I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going with Super Speedway guy this weekend, James. We're going to a Super Speedway, even though it's not a real Super Speedway, and I'm going Ricky Stenhouse Jr. as my
son
pick.
Son of a gun. Yeah, I was going to take him here. All right. All right. No worries. No issues.
I will say that Justin Haley really tempted me after this performance this weekend, but he's not going to back it up next week, right?
No, probably not.
No way.
Probably not. You know what? I'm looking through my lineup here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. I will take... Boy. Just looking at the races ahead, I'm going to take Austin Dillon here.
That's a good
one.
Give
me Austin Dillon. Yeah, give me Austin Dillon. Right. And that eliminates our use of Austin Dillon for the season. Who would have thought?
There you go.
Who would have thunk it? I'm trying to save some guys, but it's getting harder. I'm going to start using them all up here pretty soon.
Do you have a fantasy update? I know it's...
Yeah,
it's...
well, I don't have the overall standings, unfortunately, because we are too live. But we did have a tie for first.
Yes, I see that.
Just a second here.
Barron Speedway and Green Eggs and Hamlin. 187 points for both of them.
Yeah, not a great week for everybody.
Barron got screwed, too. So I was fourth, and you were third when I checked. And then I think Suarez had trouble and went toward the back. That hurt me. I don't know who you had, but everybody got kind of flipped because Barron was doing really good. Barron was over 200 when I looked, and he ended up at 187.
Yeah, so. Martin killed me a little bit.
See, I got rid of him.
But... And Reddick, I had Reddick.
Yeah, Reddick I had as well.
And then I think, you know, what really hurt was the bonus points.
Because
I had a lot of guys in the right spots, and then Cindric got up there, and a couple other guys got up there, so it hurt me pretty bad. Like Truex falling back, that cost me bonus points too. So, is what it is, man. But nobody had a good week. Like, we're all bunched together. So Green Eggs and Hamlin and Barron, they get first. Jeff Gordon for GOAT third. Cole Custer, last stand, he's third. Mickey Elliott fifth, and then Freight Train, KB Show, and then myself. We don't have the overall standings, but there's not going to be much of a change. Barron's going to still be in first. I'll probably be right there where I'm at, and. Tandem Draft Tona, though, I beat him, so I'm wondering. I know we were close, so there's a few guys in there yet. So, but we got a couple of people falling off the back of the field, so I might have to delete them out of the group. Other than that, I think we're pretty good shape. So there you go, fantasy update.
There you go. Any shout outs this week, James? I know we're early, so I don't know if you thought about this stuff.
We are. Just shout out. Quick shout out to everybody working. At that race.
Yeah.
Like that's where I think I want to take it. Like it was holy smokes, man. Good job everybody for surviving that much rain. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't had that much rain in the entire year.
I don't know how they got the show in. It's incredible.
Yeah. I want to shout out all the fans in Chicago. So cool to see people lining the fences, trying to get a peek in, seeing the people hanging out of apartments and hotel rooms, seeing the social media of people sharing video from their hotel rooms and apartments. Overall, I think the reception, despite what the city did, and the city's reception, I think the reception from the fans, or at least the people around the track, was really good. I know that there were a lot of people that weren't happy about it too that lived there, so I'm sorry for them. But very cool to see the support that we got. I think it certainly felt like, I mean, you know, you poo-pooed on me a little bit when we had that big pileup, but the fans freaking loved it.
They were cheering every time
somebody slid into a tire barrier.
Yeah.
And you know, when the race started, the stands were rough, but people were piling in, and they were pretty full by the time we finished this thing. So
yeah, they were able to get in, and again, it's amazing considering we saw a tire floating away.
Right, exactly. So just a great job for the turnout out there. From that aspect, it even was a success, I believe. And I wanted to shout out the drivers as well. I saw a lot of drivers interacting with fans. I saw a video of Daniel Suarez going up to a woman and telling her that he liked her shirt because he was wearing a Suarez shirt, or she was wearing a Suarez shirt. Saw Denny Hamlin running over to the fence to sign autographs. Good job of the fans. You know, they're walking amongst the crowd to get back to their hotels because they didn't have rental vehicles and all that stuff this weekend. So very cool to see the interactions with them. I think they did a great job as, you know, ambassadors for the sport to help draw those fans in as well. So just good all around for those guys.
Yep.
Very cool.
They can turn it up when they got to, man.
Yeah.
For once in a while, they do that. So yep. That was cool.
I mean, I'm sure there were your share of frumpy, annoyed drivers as well. But I think the ones I saw did a good job. So and the Suarez thing, I saw some stuff from Suarez, a few things from Suarez this weekend. He's a good dude. I like him. Did a good job.
He gets in the crap every once in a while, but yeah. Not a bad guy. Did anybody get Dale Jr. his pizza or a hot dog?
I don't know. How disappointing was it that he didn't have a microphone for the first half of the race?
I know. And then I saw all the tweets, and I don't know who all went out to dinner, but Bob was tweeting deep dish pizza. And I just was like, you know, like,
deep dish pizza sucks.
I like it. So that's the thing.
See, I like New York style pizza, man.
Well, here's the thing with me and pizza. I love all of the pizza, but I like deep dish pizza because I like the bread. I don't know. I'm a bread pizza guy, so I like bread.
See, I don't.
Like, I like Jets. You know what I mean?
No, thin crust, man. Thin crust.
See, I rather
the big slices. You got to fold. Yeah.
I rather have a breaded pizza than a. But again, like, pizza's pizza. I'm never gonna. I say that. Like, you never say no to pizza. I say no to pizza all the time because I have to.
Right.
But if it was up to me and it didn't hurt me so bad the next day, I would eat all the pizza. Yeah, there's no such thing as bad pizza.
Yeah, I'm not a deep dish fan at all.
Have you ever had anybody say, like, have the worst pizza in the world and be like, that was terrible? No, nobody ever says it's terrible pizza.
No, it's
pizza.
True, man.
It's just pizza.
People generally like pizza.
Yeah, that's it. It just looked delicious. Chicago deep dish looks... And there's a place in Detroit that does it. It's so good.
Yeah, anyway. I've been there, and I'm not a fan.
No, well, all right. Well, you know what? That's another thing we can disagree on this week,
I will
Eric.
Say that, you know, I'm a chain pizza person. I'm a chain restaurant person because you know what you're getting.
Yes.
But it also hurts me when it comes to pizza and stuff like that because a lot of chain pizza really sucks. And so, like, if you the place I joke about the place in Detroit, actually, the pizza is very good there. I know you're probably talking about the place down in Greektown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Their pizza is really good. It's just, I'm not a fan of deep dish, but their stuff is good. It's just not the way I would choose to have pizza.
Yes. Well, if you,
like you said, a bad pizza is still pizza.
Yes, exactly. But if you like Domino's, like, yeah, you like Domino's. Yeah. That's fine.
That's the problem is I don't necessarily like that stuff, but that's what I go for because I know what I'm getting.
And exactly. Yeah. If you like a chain, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the chains. No worries. No judgment, man. No judgment.
Yeah. My buddy gives me crap all the time about it because he's a big mom and pop place person. I'm not that person.
Hey man, if you like we have a mom and pop place in town and then we have Hungry Howie's and every once in a while we order the Hungry Howie's.
I like food and I don't want to be disappointed. I want to know what I'm getting.
I don't want to waste my calories.
Right. If I get food and it's not what I expected, I'm going to be disappointed. So
there you go. See, I'm glad we could end the podcast on such a positive note.
Yeah. Well, before we do that, do you have any black flags this week, James?
Oh man, that's a tough one, especially so close to the end of the race.
Oh, I got a good one.
Oh man. I don't know.
Brett Griffin.
Oh, he was on it one. Yeah,
Brett Griffin is my black flag, and I love Brett Griffin 100%. But I have never seen somebody bitch about how bad a city is and how bad an event is when he's not anywhere within 300 miles of that city.
Should we do a dramatic reading of the Brett Griffin tweets?
Oh my god, I don't even want to give him the credit for it. It was so freaking annoying. Bitching about people getting mugged and stuff. Like, dude, you're not even there. Shut up.
I'm Team Justin. If the 91 passes him, I hope he dumps his bleep.
Yeah. My God. Like I said, I love Brett. I don't even think I'm going to listen to DBC this week because all he's going to do is bitch. I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
He's really mad. I'm reading through some of his tweets right now. He's mad.
He's so mad about Chicago. And he's been negative about Chicago since they first announced it. Before they announced it. So.
Well, he's tapped. I'm sure NASCAR is thrilled.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll be getting a call to the hauler. Oh. Dale Jr. will have to defend him again. Thank God he's got Jr. working for him. He's not even a freaking spotter anymore. Why the hell is he on door bumper clear? He's not a spotter. He spots three races a year. I'm probably going to get blocked from him now. I better not share this on Twitter. He'll block me.
Yeah, we could share that one because I saw some of his stuff earlier and he was
so irritating.
He was, yeah, he was really fired up.
Well, James, Twitter almost died this weekend. But in case it doesn't die, how can people tweet you on the life support held Twitter?
At James Cush on Twitter. It is, yeah, I mean, like I said to you this week, it's a zombie. It's already dead.
Yeah.
It's just, we're still using it and it's as it walks around. So.
Yeah, I'm at @TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. Retweeted a bunch of stuff this weekend. Usually I'm not on there that much, but yeah, tweet at me. I'll certainly reply when I see the notification eventually if I'm not over 600 tweets. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. The podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe wherever you heard us today for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. I'm heading to Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend, not as a media member, but there'll still be some tweets and stuff if you want to follow along. Heading there to watch the NASCAR race, and I'll be back next week with James to break down Atlanta and preview the next weekend. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.